The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Please keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times.
This is your final warning.
Now, here's your host, Mr. Thrill Ride himself,
Eric Metaxas.
Oh, I love it. I love it when Todd gets all positive and stuff. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Alvin, I know you're in New York.
It's cold.
I know
here
you're
in New York. It's cold and snowy.
But you know where I am, right?
Yeah.
You know where I am?
Yeah.
I haven't even told you. Have I told you? I think you know where I am.
I looked at your schedule.
I'm in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
I know, but it's incredible. With the miracle of technology, it sounds like we're in the same room.
It does.
But I'm in St. Louis, and I had to get the crack of dawn, and I'm not even kidding, to get here ahead of the snow and stuff. And anyway, enough about that. Look, yesterday, this is now, I want to do a logical thing. First of all, in a couple seconds, we're talking to N.T. Wright. He's a frightening figure. He's bearded. He's a genius. He glowers. Even when he's trying to be friendly, he sort of glowers and intimidates. And then sometimes you can feel him getting prickly. So I'm nervous about the conversation with him. I just want people to know I am nervous. It could get weird. I'm going to do everything I can to not say something really stupid, but I might fail. Anyway, in a couple of minutes, the great N.T. Wright, he's got a book out, a biography of the Apostle Paul. He just knocked that out in a weekend.
And by the way,
that accent of his is phony,
by the way.
You know what? People keep saying that if you really know an English accent and you hear him, you just figure this dude's blowing
smoke. He thinks it goes along with the beard.
It's incredible. When he purchased the beard, they suggested that now would be a good time to change his whole persona. He took it to heart, according to the rumors that were spreading, and he became somebody else. He used to be Tom Wright, little Tommy Wright. Now he's N.T. Wright at St. Andrews. So anyway, I'm really scared, but in a couple of minutes, I'm going to be talking to N.T. Wright. Oh, man, if he doesn't like you, he will just cut you. He'll throw facts and figures, and he'll just cut you into ribbons. It's humiliating. But anyway, that could happen, and if it happens, it happens. You're going to have a front row seat to the bloodbath that could happen. So I want to say, Albin, but here's a little logical thing I wanted to do. Yesterday, you reminded us, yesterday was the first day of spring. And you know what I realized today?
What?
It makes today officially the second day of spring.
Oh.
But nobody ever talks about the second day of spring. You realize that the second day of spring is like a little orphan, that nobody ever cares about it. And I want to celebrate the second day of spring. Today is the second day of spring.
Okay.
And wherever you are, remember, there's only one second day of spring, and today is it. And you need to take advantage of that, whatever it means. Couple things, by the way. I have a note in front of me that says Hillsdale College is still doing their subversive, radical thing that they're doing. Yikes. They are sending – this is so subversive, folks. Listen to this. This is like Ken Kesey and the Merry Pranksters. It's crazy stuff. They are sending a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution to every single high school principal, public high school – no, I'm sorry, not high school – public school principal, K through 12, every public school principal in America is getting a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, courtesy of the Merry Pranksters at Hillsdale College. Now, this is so delicious that they are saying, listen, it's the Constitution, it's the Declaration of Independence, we think this is important, and we're going to send it to you, and we're going to offer you, Mr. or Mrs. Principal, we're going to offer to you an opportunity to give it to all of your students. If you write back to us, we'll get it to all your students. Now, a lot of wise principals out there will say, by the way, this is marvelous. Thank you, Hillsdale. And they're going to take them up on the offer, and they're going to educate their kids on the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, which would be amazing. Now, by the way, public school teachers and principals, if you're listening, if you don't do this, I'm warning you, homeschoolers are going to take over the world. Mm. You need to prepare your kids with this stuff. Hillsdale is doing it with their students at Hillsdale. So it's a good reason to go to Hillsdale. But anyway, you can find out more. Go to MetaxasForHillsdale.com. Metaxas, you got to spell Metaxas. MetaxasForHillsdale.com. It's just a delicious thing that they're doing this. I couldn't be happier. MetaxasForHillsdale.com. By the way, if you go there, you can get your own Constitution. They'll mail it to you too. They don't care if you're a public school principal. They'll mail you the same thing. So, but check it out. These guys are heroes. MetaxasForHillsdale.com. And we have a Food for the Poor update. And the update is that if you give anything, we'll be grateful to you. That's number one. I haven't mentioned that enough. When we do a campaign, we believe in the people we're trying to help, and we believe in the organization trying to help them. So I want to say again, we don't just do whatever. I say that for the products that we advertise on this program, our sponsors. We want to check these things out. But especially when we're asking you for money, we want you to know that we only work with profoundly reputable organizations, people that we have met, that we've gotten to know. Some radio hosts have reputable organizations, people that we have met, that we've gotten to know. Some radio hosts have gone on the ground in places like Haiti and Guatemala and seen the work that they do, because we just want to know that we're partnering with the right people. The suffering that's going on in Haiti and Guatemala is tremendous. It's always tremendous. These are countries that really suffer, particularly Haiti now. There was this drought, and the after effects of that continue. So we're getting together, and we're asking you, since you know the government doesn't do this kind of stuff, it's up to us, the private citizens of America, to give from our largesse, and we have largesse. Most of us can spare something. So I want to encourage you to go to MetaxasTalk.com and please give something. Now, for $50, you feed a kid for a year. This is extraordinary food for the poor. Again, it's why we work with them. They can stretch the dollars very far. They work with in huge bulk quantities. So, you know, you can do a lot for $50. I want to encourage you. Now, I do want to say, if you give $100, we at the big show, and Albin will back me up on this because he's doing the hard work on this one. Albin, if you give $100, we want to entice people to give $100, because if you give $100, we will give you totally for free an annual subscription to Metaxas Super. That's our premium content. That means you get commercial-free podcasts, you get video of all the shows we're taping, and we're taping more and more of them, and that's a whole story. We're building a studio just so you can see this stuff better, whatever. We're doing all this now, and for $100, you get all that. It's a $66 value. It's an annual subscription that you get. It begins whenever it begins. You get it for a year. So that's for $100. Now, if you can give $200, you get two annual subscriptions to Metaxas Super, and you're helping four kids, obviously. You get two annual subscriptions, and you get two hats.
Two hats. Share the love, share the hats. That's what we say around here.
Exactly. Sometimes. Alvin, that's what I'm trying to say.
I know.
Share the love. Share the hats. Exactly.
Yeah.
Why can't people remember that?
It's beautiful.
Share the love, share the hats. It almost rhymes. Okay, so if you give $1,000, you get 10 annual subscriptions to Metaxas
Super. Hats.
You can give them to your friends. You can give them as birthday presents, and you get 10 hats.
Yeah.
And if you give $5,000, you get 50. I just want to say to some people, because there's some people that can do this, and I want to encourage them to do it.
You do get the 50 memberships, and, but you still only get 10 hats, though. We can't go to 50 hats on that one. That's really squeaking it out there.
Is that right?
Yeah, but you do, and you'll get a book, though. You get the signed book, and you get a visit to the studio and all that good stuff.
You'll get a whole bunch of stuff. For $1,000, that's right.
You still get that in the
studio with your whole family. You could bring 1,000 people to the studio. We're not going to stop you.
Yeah.
As many people as you want, if you're in New York, to come visit, have a photo op, and all kinds of stuff. If you give $10,000, That means we can all have dinner together here in New York. And some people have wanted to do that. If you can do it, it's a spectacular, fun evening. You can come to the studio. We'll spend the evening together and have dinner. And you're giving it. The most important thing is you are helping many, many kids through a reputable organization called Food for the Poor. I cannot stress that enough, folks. This is a real need, and that's why we're asking you. All right, we'll be right back with a really scary N.T. Wright.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hearst. My family's company, the Hearst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
Discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song. For my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Bob Jones University is committed to providing an outstanding, regionally accredited Christian liberal arts education, purposely designed to inspire a lifelong pursuit of learning, loving, and leading. Our highly credentialed faculty are committed to inspiring students both in and out of the classroom. That's why Bob Jones University pre-med graduates are accepted to med school within 1 year of graduation at double the national average. Visit bju.edu or call 800-252-6363 to find out more. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
How much do you spend on your pest control each year? $200, $300, or even $500 or more? What if I said you could spend less than $25 a year, even less with promo code SAVE20? Then listen up. G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-in Pest Free, and yes, it is possible to rid your home or business of unwanted pests for less than $25 per year. The answer is Plug-in Pest Free. Our bestseller, the Plug-in Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. For just a one-time cost of only $249, even less with promo code SAVE20, you'll be pest-free for years to come. Log on to gopestfree.com today. Use promo code SAVE20 and start driving those pests away. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com. That's go. Pestfree.com, promo code SAVE20.
Your cell phone's connected to your tablet. Your tablet's connected to your laptop. Your laptop's connected to your Wi-Fi. 1 week link and thieves are in.
The digital world is so connected these days, it just takes 1 week link for criminals to get in. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against the threats of today's connected world.
Your desktop's connected to your smart TV. Your smart TV's connected to your smartwatch.
Threats to your identity, like your info for sale on the dark web. And online threats to your devices, like ransomware. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices. And if there's a problem, our agents will work to fix it.
Your smartwatch is connected to your video doorbell. Your video doorbell's connected to your smart lock.
Join now and get an additional 10% off your first year. Go to LifeLock.com and enter promo code SMART. That's promo code SMART. New LifeLock with Norton. More detection, more protection.
Thank you. Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed that I set my sights on Monday, and I got my...
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. As promised, I have on the line from Aberdeen, Scotland, none other than N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I can hardly believe that you have finally written this grand biography of Paul the Apostle, St. Paul, St. Paul. Have you written other biographies? We know you've written so many books, but have you written other biographies?
No, I haven't, unless you count the books that I've written about Jesus, but they're not written as biographies, because inevitably with Jesus, you tend to focus on the last couple of years of his life rather than trying to do a developmental biography for which we don't have too much evidence. Whereas with Paul, we know quite a bit about his upbringing. We know quite a bit about his early middle life. We know quite a bit about what motivated him, the difficulties and things he went into. So this was a fascinating exercise for me. So, I mean, you are a biographer, but I have never been before. So this was really fascinating.
Well, being a biographer of mortal men is a little different than being a biographer of the great St. Paul. I cannot imagine how one would begin to go about it unless one were a theologian of the first water, such as N.T. Wright, for example. So I want to say I'm very glad that you've taken the trouble for all of us who are going to read it to do this. But I just have to guess that this has been on your heart and mind for many, many years to write a book like this.
Well, in a way, yes, but in a way, no. The book that was on my heart to write about Paul was the one I wrote 5 years ago called Paul and the Faithfulness of God, which, as you may know, is more than twice the size of the book you now have in your hands.
I do.
And it's a scholarly book trying to give a coherent account of what Paul believed and why he believed it and how he expressed that belief. But that was what I was really doing. But as I was doing that, all sorts of questions come up. Like, you know, was Paul married? All the sort of usual biographical questions, which it wasn't appropriate to address in that book. But when the publishers said, you know, it would help the general reader if you actually turned this into a biography as such. And the other thing, I'll tell you, the other thing that really stimulated me, I don't know if you know Robert Harris, who's an English novelist. He's written three novels about the life of Cicero, the great Roman philosopher, statesman, lawyer. And in those biographies, he makes you feel and think and smell what it's like being in Rome in the middle of the first century BC, so that when Cicero then makes one of his great set piece speeches, which we all studied at school, those of us who did classics, then you understand why he had to make that speech, why it's important for him. And I wanted to be able to do something like that with Paul, so that by the time you get 1 Corinthians or Colossians or whatever, we are actually living inside Paul's world, and we understand why he has to write this letter now, instead of just saying, oh, here's a letter by Paul. It's in the Bible. Let's read it. So I'm trying to come at it from the inside. And that was a wonderful and really exciting project for me.
Well, it strikes me that because that's the case, then this is a work of exegesis, isn't it? In other words, as it were, annotating the writings of Paul, that's effectively what you're doing. You're annotating.
Well, I think of it the other way around, actually. I think of it in terms of trying to set out his life and annotating his life by saying, and at this point, of course, he has to write to dictate a letter to those infuriating Galatians who are getting it all wrong. In other words, I'm starting with obviously the evidence we've got, which is the larger world of Greece and Rome and ancient Judaism. That's where we start with Paul, because he lives in all three worlds at once, which is why he's so fascinating. But then in describing his life and his hopes and his fears and his anxieties and his loves and his longings, then the letters emerge from inside that, so that it's not so much a question of doing exegesis and working back to his life. Though, of course, it's a two-way street, as with any source material. You're going backwards and forwards.
Well, I guess
text and context.
When I say exegesis, what I really mean is that you can't really understand these things apart from the context. And by giving us the context, you help us to understand, in fact, what is really being said. And you know far better than I do that one of the great faults of modern-day evangelicalism is to take Scripture as though it were inscribed on a tablet, and to pull out verses and to treat it in a way that lends itself almost to Gnosticism. And by really understanding it in its historical context, you help us dramatically not to do that.
Yeah, I that's certainly one of the primary aims. And I think, the way you say that is interesting, going towards Gnosticism with just these texts which fall from the sky, as it were, without a context. But I think as well, it's to do with the fact that contemporary Christianity, really ever since the Western Enlightenment in the 18th century, has tended to split off Christian faith from broadly real life, from politics, society, art, culture, literature, etc. This is a very modern split, and it's been very bad for our health, culturally and personally and spiritually, every other way. So by trying to show Paul in his own context, I'm not just saying, hey, so this is actually what Romans 3 was all about, or this is why he had to write Philippians 2 the way he did. That comes into it, but it's more a heads up to the fact that we too ought to be thinking about our reading of Scripture today in our historical context, not simply our retrieval of this ancient text as though we can plonk it down in our own spirituality, irrespective of the actual issues that we face on the street and in our societies and politics and so on.
Well, then let's leap into it. What are some of the things that you say in the book that can be helpful to us in understanding some of the more famous texts that Paul gives us?
Well, there's all kinds of things, and I don't know how far you've got with your own reading of the book, because that might pull out some interesting things yourself. But one of the things that fascinates me is the way Paul handles his various brushes with public authorities, so that when he's in Philippi, he gets thrown in jail suddenly without trial and beaten and so on. And he knows, and Silas, who's with him, knows that they are Roman citizens, and this should not happen, but you can't explain that when people are beating you and flinging you into jail. But then the next day, when there's an earthquake and all sorts of things happen, and the local magistrates send word to the jail, tell those men to get out of town, Paul knows perfectly well that actually he's right on his side here. And so he sends word back. Guess what? We're Roman citizens, imprisoned without trial, beaten without charge. Sounds more like a public apology, doesn't it? And he gets it. And there's a kind of a savvy, almost cheeky relationship that he has, where he knows the ground that he's standing on and is able to operate that way. And this is the larger point that I would make from that, and in the letter to the Philippians later, is that this is all part of his belief that Jesus is Lord and so Caesar isn't. And whoever Caesar is in our world, we have to figure out and act on that figuring out what it means to say and to live by the fact that Jesus is Lord and Caesar is only in penultimate authority at best, and that we can, as it were, appeal to Jesus over the head of Caesar, even if we get beaten or even killed for it. So there's a sense of engagement which is so often missing in as a wise, thought-out engagement in a way that's often missing from contemporary Christianity. The other thing I would say, Eric, is that I have hypothesized, and like all history and like all biography, you have to make hypotheses and see if they work, that when Paul goes through what he describes more or less as a nervous breakdown in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, I despaired of life itself. And he says, but this was to make me trust in the God who raises the dead. Now, how do you do that? Do you just sit in your room and say, now, come on, you know you're supposed to trust in God? And the answer is, anyone who's having a nervous breakdown, you can't talk to them like that. Anyone who's severely depressed, that won't work. So I go back and say, what do we know about Paul? We know that he was a man of prayer. We know that he prayed regularly, many times a day. How did he pray? Well, he prayed Jewish-style prayers, but he put Jesus in the middle of these Jewish-style prayers. Do we have any of those prayers? Well, yes, we do. There's one in Philippians 2, there's one in 1 Corinthians 8, etc., etc. So I'm hypothesizing that how Paul gets out of his terrible depression, which I assume is because he's been imprisoned and beaten up and left without food and friends can't get at him, etc., that the way out of that is that he has to allow his prayer habit to go down like the roots of a plant in harsh winter into deeper soil and darker soil. And from that, he draws these extraordinary prayers, which he then shares with the churches. Now, to me, this is a kind of an integrated spirituality. It has to do with a human wholeness when faced with the real darkness and horror that comes upon life sometimes.
We're going to go to a break. I want to pick up right there when we come back. Folks, I'm talking to N.T. Wright. He has a new book out, some light summer reading, a biography of St. Paul. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back.
Amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
Discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
I, Luke, send a message to all those that follow our Lord Jesus Christ.
From the studio that brought you Risen and War Room comes Paul, Apostle of Christ.
There are men, women, children that will never meet you. There must be a handwritten account of your acts.
Their faith challenged an empire.
What do you really know about these Christians?
I am concerned with these documents.
Their words changed the world.
Love is the only way.
Paul, Apostle of Christ, starring Jim Caviezel. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters March 23rd. Go to paulmovie.com.
Imagine a politician saying this today. I have wondered at times what the Ten Commandments would have looked like if Moses had run them through the U.S. Congress. That's a quote from Ronald Reagan. Hi, I'm Larry Elder. Reagan showed us through his life, his faith, and with his words that Judeo-Christian values and principles matter. You can help spread the legacy of Ronald Reagan and can do it by getting a Reagan email address. Right now, if you have an email, AOL, Yahoo, or other big tech company email address, you help them market their service with every email you send. In return, they scan your emails and target you with unwanted advertising. But thanks to our sponsor, ReaganPrivacy.com, you can instead share the Reagan name with every email you send. And they won't scan your emails. They will leave you alone. Get an email address you'll be proud to own at ReaganPrivacy.com. Your very own personal private email address is available to you at ReaganPrivacy.com. Get your Reagan email address right now at ReaganPrivacy.com. That's ReaganPrivacy.com. ReaganPrivacy.com.
Folks, this is the Eric Metaxas Show, and guess what? I'm talking to N.T. Wright. He allows me to call him Tom. In fact, he's asked me to call him Tom, but I shan't do it. No, I shan't. N.T. Wright, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Eric. Please feel free to call me Tom. That's
yes,
fine.
I know. No. You've insisted on it, and I shan't. Let me ask you, you just said something really important, and I want to get back to that, because it strikes me that this is the heart of why you've written this book. You talk about, in a way, returning to a pre-Enlightenment, pre-Reformation, incarnational view of the faith. That you say, for example, that Paul was a figure more like Rousseau or Marx or Vaclav Havel than he was like Billy Graham. You were just saying something about that before we went to the break. So I want you to pick up on that, if you would.
Well, yes, that's something I've actually been thinking about since I finished writing the book, that where you place Paul is really, he's a public intellectual. He's going about, he breaks the categories. He's not just a religious figure in our sense, or indeed in first century sense. He's not just a philosopher, though he's got a lot of philosophy in him. He's not just a wandering evangelist. Far from it. He's engaging on all levels, philosophically, politically, and of course religiously as well. well. But he puts it all together in ways which our culture isn't used to. And the danger of saying pre-Enlightenment or pre-Renaissance is it sounds as though one might be saying, oh, forget everything that's happened for the last 500 years, and let's just go back to a simpler, purer world. And the answer is no. The world's always been in a muddle and a mess. It's just that our particular muddle and mess at the moment comes to us courtesy of the 18th and 19th centuries, right. And particularly the way that they have split apart heaven and earth, God's sphere and our sphere,
right.
In a way that was unthinkable in previous days. And we've somehow been conned into thinking that that's because with modern science we now know that the world is in fact split apart into two. And that's just putting a few scientific footnotes onto what is basically ancient Epicureanism. So what you get in the Enlightenment is an ancient worldview with some modern footnotes. And I'm saying, let's try a different ancient worldview, namely the Jewish one, because its modern footnotes go a lot better. And they're the ones that Paul would have been exhorting us to pay attention to.
Well, I did get the impression that that's what you're saying. And you've said this before, and it's vital to really explain this. I want to go further with you on this, because I think that what's very natural to you may be foreign to many of the people listening.
Sure.
To say that, as you said, it's not that the Enlightenment and the Renaissance and the Reformation and our more modern evangelical view of things is all flawed and it's a big problem. But there's some pieces of it. We've been conned, as you said, into thinking along these materialistic lines that we have a split between this world and the other world. And what you're saying is no, Jesus came into this world. He chose to come into this world and to bring his kingdom into this world, which is quite different in a way from wishing us away from this world into his world.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, the lectures I'm doing in Aberdeen at the moment, the Gifford lectures, are really all about this, how the way in which modern Western culture has framed the questions, if you like, systematically distorts them by holding God and the world well apart from each other. And then Christianity has colluded with this by, instead of saying, no, in ancient Judaism and in Christianity, God's sphere and our sphere are meant to overlap and interlock. Instead of saying that, what we've done is we've borrowed from Plato and said that, well, we've got a soul which is going to escape from this world, and it can escape right now with spirituality, and it'll escape at death, it'll go to heaven. That's just Platonism. You find it in people like Plutarch in the first century, not Paul. For Paul, it's all about, as you say, you can put a label called incarnational on it. That's one way of saying it. But it's really about God meshing with our world, God's power and love and glory actually coming into and engaging with our world. That's one dimension. The other one is the past, present, and future thing that, again, in our modern Western world, we think of the past and the present and the future as really divided by a great gulf, whereas in the Jewish world, every time they have Shabbat, Sabbath, it's like bringing God's ultimate future world into the present.
Yeah.
And when you look at the New Testament, that's what's happening with Jesus. The future is coming into the present. Well, it's difficult for us to get our minds around that, but it's absolutely vital. And Paul lives on that all the time.
Well, it's such a central foundational idea that I think it's worth staying on for a few more minutes, because it's as you have said, and you've lived this, that this is something that has haunted the whole world, the whole Western world, this false idea of this divide between the spiritual and the material. It's wrong. We are not to escape into the spiritual. We're to drag the spiritual down into this world and to take this world over with it. The world that we live in is supposed to be suffused with the kingdom of God. We're supposed to bring the kingdom of God into this world, and somehow we Christians in the modern era have bought into this lie, and there's great irony there. We're going to go to another break. Folks, I'm talking to N.T. Wright. The book is Paul, a Biography. Just Paul, no last name. Paul, a Biography. An exciting, exciting book to be holding right now. We'll be right back with N.T. Wright.
Hey,
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, how are you? I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Okay.
Can I tell you? Because,
yes.
Listen, for example, Relief Factor, we get these testimonials in here. Greg from Hawaii writes, my left knee started swelling last year, making climbing stairs and walking distances difficult. At the same time, my back, hips, and shoulders were aching, and I figured it was worth trying Relief Factor. Within 3 days, I was seeing a difference. Relief Factor is helping with almost all my aches and pains.
Wow.
A lot of people think they have to live with aches and pains, and I would say, you know, in some cases maybe, but I would try Relief Factor. It is, how do I describe it, non-toxic. It's botanicals. You can take it all day long. This is not like taking Advil or something that you really shouldn't. It's not good for your organs, whatever. So go to relieffactor.com. Check out the Quick Start Pack for $19.95. Within a few weeks, you will know. It could be less than that, but you'll know if it works for you. But it's worked for a lot of people. Again, it's anti-inflammatory. It's something that I take every day. I recommend it. Relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com.
Amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
Discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song for my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Go to IcanOnlyImagine.com.
Learn, love, lead. That's the heart of the student experience at Bob Jones University. Discover a university that's both academically challenging and spiritually encouraging. Learn from highly credentialed faculty who share your faith and approach everything from a biblical worldview. Be challenged to love God and others by getting outside your comfort zone and giving of yourself. Grow as a leader through opportunities on and off campus. Learn more online at bju.edu or call 800-252-6363. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-519-0447. That's 800-519-0447. 800-519-0447. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
She's such a beautiful little puppy. I mean, we walk around the block, and neighbors always say, her hair is so beautiful.
Healthy and shiny and glossy.
DinoVite.com.
Fatty acids, omega-3s, and omega-6s are great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
I would really recommend people starting their puppies on Dinovite before they get into what I would call the misery index. Bad skin, bad ears, bad breath.
Because if they're getting all their vitamins, micronutrients, microbials from the beginning, then you're not going to run into the problems associated with the allergies.
Grass, pollen, dust, dirt, fleas, ticks, you name it,
and the itching and shedding down the road.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
Dinovite for life.
This is Ed Lukasevic.
And Cindy Lukasevic.
Inviting you and your pets to Dinovite.
859-428-1000.
DinoVite.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I have the privilege and joy of speaking this hour with N.T. Wright about his new book, A Biography of Paul. I'm going to call you Tom just this once, Tom. Let me ask you a question about you say part of what you're getting at, in a way, is you're saying that we reduce things. For example, we'll say that Paul was a Christian. And you would say, and I would say, that Paul and Jesus were not Christians. They were Jews who were bringing Judaism to where it needed to go. It was a kind of a restoration of Judaism, and that there is only one faith in one true God. So how is it that Paul was a Jew and not a, I'm putting it in quotes, Christian?
That's a great question, and we hear it. Particularly, I think you in America hear it in ways that others in Europe don't, but it's very sharp in America because of religious divides that have been so obvious in the society over the last couple of hundred years, where the word Christian and the word Jew are sort of mutually antithetical. And, yeah, we have to think historically. History is such a help here, and to realize that the word Christian did come into use quite early on, but Christians started off as followers of Jesus, who they believe to be the Christos, i.e. the Messiah, and that's Israel's Messiah. There aren't two Messiahs, a Jewish Messiah and a Christian Messiah, though people sometimes talk like that. There is, you know, either Jesus of Nazareth was and is Israel's Messiah, or he wasn't. Paul believed that he was because he knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead, because he, Paul, had met the risen Jesus in person. And that's really the start of it all. And so Paul never ceases to be a loyal Jew. But he has had, this is the crucial thing, he's had that loyalty redefined around the fact that Israel's Messiah was crucified and raised from the dead. That was not expected. People weren't going around saying, oh, well, one day a Messiah will come and he'll be crucified. No. The idea of a crucified Messiah is a contradiction in terms. Paul says it's a scandal to Jews because it implies a total revision from inside. Now, there are many revisions from inside that happen in the Jewish world, but this is the big one, and it's a huge challenge, and Paul runs with it, but he claims to be a loyal Jew, and that's really the question. What does it mean to be loyal to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if that God has now revealed himself in and as a crucified Messiah? And that's the thing, which we could go on discussing all day, and not least if we had some rabbis in the room.
Well, I almost wish we did, because I'm so fascinated. Just last night, I was with a group of Jews who believe in Jesus as Messiah. And I almost I've thought this any time I'm exposed to Jews who believe in Jesus as the Messiah. I feel that really, to be a Christian, really to be a follower of Jesus, means in some sense, very serious sense, to become Jewish and to understand the world from that point of view.
And I think Paul would say that. It's very interesting. There are some throwaway lines which tell you what he thinks about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 12, he says, you remember that when you were Gentiles, you were led astray to dumb idols. And in other words, he's addressing people who were pagans, who were non-Jews. And he says, well, that was then. So what are they now? And the answer is they are en Christo. They are part of the Messiah's family, which for Paul is a Jewish category.
That is huge, what you just said. In other words, the idea who call Jesus Messiah and Lord, according to Paul, are no longer Gentiles.
No, exactly.
I've never heard that before. Have you heard that before?
You need to have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, right at the start of that chapter, he says. And he at the start of chapter 10, he talks about, he says, to the same Gentile Christians, he says, I don't want you to forget that our fathers were all under Moses, and they came through the sea, and there was the cloud in the wilderness, etc. And he says, our fathers, in other words, he is, in technical language, he's narrating the Corinthians into the Jewish story, so that if they have to learn to think of what we call the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament as their backstory. They've come into a family. It's like when you get married and you discover that your spouse's family has a very interesting backstory, and you think, well, this is now part of my backstory.
Yeah.
I'm now part of this family. So that's the kind of thing that's going on. And of course, that was hugely controversial in the first century, because the Jewish people had privileges from Rome where they didn't have to worship the Roman gods and all that stuff, which was massive. Everybody knew whether you were worshiping the local gods or not, and Jews didn't have to. And so suddenly here's all these other people who aren't ethnically Jews, and they're claiming the same privilege. And you can imagine the trouble that that causes in all sorts of directions. And that's part of, see, this is the fun of doing history. When you then discover that that's the background to things like Galatians, that's what's going on. There's a social turmoil because of worship and non-worship and the wrong people claiming this privilege. And now what you're going to do? So Paul writes Galatians and says, it's going to mean suffering, but this is what we have to do.
Well, you know, we've all heard many times the scripture about being grafted in, that we Gentiles have been grafted in to the tree of the Jews, that we have become, you know, my father is a master gardener, does grafting. And you realize that when something is grafted in, it quite literally becomes part of the tree. There's no second class citizen status for the grafted branch. So do you think maybe we've made too little of this as followers of Jesus, that we are in fact Jewish?
Think, well, we have. But of course, Eric, it's difficult because there's a long history, and contemporary Jewish folks, and including some good friends of mine, one of who's got a quote on the back of this book, as you may have seen, Jonathan Sachs said some very nice things about it. But they know perfectly well, and we know perfectly well, that in the last 100 years, the Jews have been persecuted in ways that people would not have imagined possible. But actually, that goes way back. Most of Christian history, sadly, has been shadowed by a hostility towards Jewish people. And so the two communities have squared off, as it were, against one another. And obviously, in the first century, Paul himself was persecuting the early church before
met
Jesus and turned around.
Forgive me, we're going to go to one more break. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment with N.T. Wright. The new book is Paul, a Biography.
From the creators of The Case for Christ.
All these years, this church has been here. Now it's just a crime scene.
The church has brought nothing but controversy to the school for years.
When we are divided, we must remember what we stand for.
We cannot respond to hate with more hate.
This Easter, God's not dead, in the darkness, we are called to be the light.
Without grace is our goal. We're just fighting.
God's Not Dead, A Light in Darkness, starring David A.R. White and John Corbett. In theaters March 30th, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Go to godsnotdead.com.
Protecting data across modern decentralized networks presents challenges that traditional backup solutions can't handle. At best, you'll waste time and money managing multiple solutions. At worst, gaps in coverage will leave your data vulnerable. Barracuda Backup is a single cloud-integrated solution that simplifies the backup process and allows data replication to anywhere on your network, a private cloud, Barracuda's cloud, or to the AWS public cloud. Reclaim your data. Try Barracuda Backup free at barracuda.com/backup.
Dennis Prager here, and for 2 years now, I've been telling you about my wife, Sue, who tried Relief Factor because of her knee pain, and it worked. And if you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle aches and pain, do what my wife, Sue, did. Try Relief Factor. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call them toll-free 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384.
Can you remember the last time you had a great night's sleep? How you felt the next morning? More energized, more alive. Feel the difference of deeper sleep daily with the new Tomorrow mattress. Designed by the world's leading sleep experts at Serta Simmons Bedding and delivered right to your door. Use promo code HAPPY for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code HAPPY.
Hey there, folks. I'm talking to N.T. Wright, so you better be listening. He has a new book out called Paul, a Biography. I just have one question, really. We only have a few minutes left, but I'm fascinated about your contention that Paul was a figure more like Rousseau or Marx or Vaclav Havel than Billy Graham, because I guess when I think of Paul and when many people think of Paul, they think of the miraculous. They think that he His conversion, of course, was miraculous, but so many miracles. He prayed that the dead would be raised. People were healed. His whole walk, I mean, from being freed by an angel from the prison, on and on and on. There are all these miracles. And we don't have too many public intellectuals living a life of miracles today, do we?
Eric, so much of what you just said there, I really want to pick apart, actually, as one does. It was Peter that was freed from jail by an angel, by the way. But,
oh, you're quibbling.
Story.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am.
I'm embarrassed.
You're right, I am.
You've embarrassed me, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. But you see, the very word miracle, we now hear that word in a post-18th century sense, a post-Hume sense, etc. And we divide our world into supernatural and natural. And so if we think of miracle, most Christians who say that word think of a God who is normally outside the process, who sometimes reaches in and does stuff and then maybe goes away again. And that is simply to hand a free pass to the split world of the Enlightenment.
Well, no. But I fully appreciate that. But I'm saying that nonetheless, when someone has a vision, a revelation, when someone prays that somebody crippled would be healed, it is what it is.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. At the same time, for Paul, there are many times when that doesn't happen. When Epaphroditus comes to see him from Philippi, and Paul's in prison, and Epaphroditus is sick, and Paul says, yes, he was sick, he was close to death. God had mercy on him and on me too, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. In other words, you bet Paul prayed that Epaphroditus would get well, but it wasn't an automatic thing. It wasn't that Paul had a kind of magic touch that he could just do this stuff. And I think that's part of the depression in Ephesus, because the early time in Ephesus, he is having an amazing time. People take handkerchiefs from Paul's body and lay them on sick people, and they get better.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay.
But then it all goes horribly wrong, and it doesn't seem to work that way. And then when he goes to Corinth, likewise. Eric, before we quit, can I just say one thing?
Anything.
There is an online course based on this book, which people can find at www.ntwriteonline.org. That's just launched, the course on this book, Paul the Biography.
ntwriteonline.org.
ntwriteonline.org. And that's available right now. People can sign up for it. But I just wanted to tell you that, because if people like the book, or they might want the courses away. Paul believes that God does extraordinary things, but it's not on tap. It's not automatic.
Absolutely not.
Part of Paul's wrestling with difficult issues is just trusting that God will do what God will do, and Paul has to be in the middle of it somewhere. But I personally don't much like the word miracle, because it does, to many people today, imply this invasion from outside, whereas God is the creator. God is always at
well,
work.
But
sometimes he does stuff which surprises us.
We've got 20 seconds. What do you call it when someone is raised from the dead, or a cripple's hand is? I mean, what would you call it so that it's not miracle?
I would say it's a healing. It's a remarkable healing. It's a paradox. That's the word that Luke uses when he talks about it. It's a way of showing that God is God, even because this is God's world, and
yeah,
he's active
yeah.
in it all the time. And sometimes that activity takes unexpected forms.
I am viciously sorry that we're out of time. Dr. Wright, N.T. Wright, it's a privilege.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for this book. Folks, that's the show. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.